There's a separate, what I call handouts, but I think they're labeled as paper in the materials that you see from me. And what they are two forms. One is a template for a grand jury stage Rule 502D agreed motion and order in federal district court to provide, in accordance with 502, that any disclosures in a federal proceeding, in the federal proceeding, meaning the grand jury, will not constitute a waiver of any privileges, even for disclosed materials, in any other federal or state proceeding, or in the current proceeding for that matter. And it's pretty common. One former now retired magistrate judge has said it's akin to malpractice not to try to get such an order. I'll get back to some of the details of that order later, but I invite you to take a look at the forms. And then I've also provided a motion and that I wrote years ago and an order that Chief Judge Lynn signed in Northern District, Texas, providing for not just 502D protections at the trial level, but expanding that to include protections for privileges other than attorney-client and work product, which on the caption on Rule 502 are the only two privileges that can be protected by such an order. And you'll see my argument. Basically, it's rules of evidence can't expand the court's authority, so must have an inherent authority to protect from or issue non-disclosure rulings for privileges other than attorney-client and work product. Also, you'll note, hopefully, that throughout the slide deck, there are hypertext links. They're not going to be live on the presentation that I'm doing. It's just too complicated, but you should be able to bring up the linked material on your at your end. With that, the first thing I recommend that we do is figure out what is the federal law enforcement agency that has come knocking. It's usually going to be FBI, but often it'll be, depending on the nature of the investigation, could be IRS, could be ATF, you know, you've got all the alphabets. It's important, though, to try to identify who the agency is, because that is the first clue to what the scope of the investigation will be. Each agency has different jurisdiction. There are other ways to figure this out, though, fairly quickly. First of all, ask. Often, not always, but often the investigator and the assistant U.S. attorney will tell you, we're looking into, not specifically maybe, but whether your former city manager or the former CFO of your developer organization might have stolen funds from a city that's receiving federal assistance, federal grants. If you're given a subpoena, of course, the scope of the subpoena will very strongly hint at what the scope of the investigation is going to be. And, of course, if your client is interviewed by investigators, the kind of questions they ask will give you a very strong indication of what they're looking at. Now, it's important to identify the scope of the investigation in no particular order. First of all, to determine if you have any conflicts of interest, either between yourself and the subject of the investigation or among your various clients. If you're a developer's attorney, chances are you represent in different capacities one or more principals as well as the organization. If you're a local government attorney, you represent the organization, but sometimes for some purposes in their official capacity, also could, depending on your city charter and ordinances, you could also be representing employees and officers, council members of the city. At this point, I should note that it's appropriate that this presentation be at a land use CLE program, because in my experience, the FBI just loves investigating government-sponsored real estate development. It's maybe because they're used to doing it, so they have a framework. Maybe it's because it's easy to get informants, mainly competing disappointed developers often. But I suspect it's largely because there's so much money floating around in the form of whether it be tax credits or just other benefits that the temptation to take and receive and offer bribes is there. And it's just unfortunate, but it just happens to be the case. Now, what are the key disciplinary rules that we're going to be concerned with? And I'll tell you, hopefully you'll have figured it out, but I wrote, after I finished doing this slide, I realized, oh my goodness, I forgot the most important rule, so I'll get to that last. Who is the client